G'day everyone. Monday, July 4, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. A very good morning to you wherever you are listening. Yes, we're back after a little mid-year rest for the three of us. Back, great to be back, and certainly thinking of all those affected by the weather. I can't believe we're going through this again. Morning to you, Clarky and Loz. Good to see you both.
Morning, boys.
Gee, we missed each other last week, didn't we?
Yeah, we still couldn't keep away. We sent the occasional text message. I've got to say, where did that week go? It was nice to have a week off, but geez, it went quick. But good to be back. We've missed a bit of sport. Every code, just about. Aussies are on fire. Wallabies, brilliant. Rugby league this weekend was great. Third Origin, just around the corner. What about the Blues? You're right, Middo. I've got to say, you said the Blues were going to smoke the Maroons. We all paid you out. You got it right.
Glad you remembered.
How good.
Long and memory.
I do remember. I do remember. Cricket, the Aussies are on fire. That's a big win for the Aussies. Losing the toss, having to bowl first in those conditions. That's a massive win.
Second test starts on Friday. That's the final match of that tour. Loz, of morning to you, mate. How was your little week across the ditch?
Morning, boys. No, I had a fantastic time. Did a bit of touring while I was over there. Spent a bit of time down south and then went up north. I saw the Warriors play yesterday and I ran into a few people over there in New Zealand. They were really excited about the Warriors being home, and to see them walk out onto the pitch yesterday was a real special scene. Mm. 26,000 people there. It was sold out within an hour of tickets going on sale. And they responded. The Warriors, they went out there and played probably their best football of the season. The poor old West Tigers, though, they didn't really offer a great deal, although they defended really strongly in that first half. So it was good to see the Warriors back home and getting a win. Poor old Raiders yesterday. Bring back the two referees. That wouldn't have happened yesterday. Would have been a penalty for sure.
Yeah,
Ben Hunt at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Although we had our moments to win the game. We weren't good enough, but to get ourselves in that position back into the contest and then to not have that call go against you, I can understand the frustration of all Raiders supporters, the players and the coach.
I think what we got to see this weekend was how hard it is to hang on to the ball when it's raining.
Mm.
In every game I watched, it was like, you see a team drop the ball, and you go, is there something on the ball? Why are they like, first tackle? Drop it.
Oh, it was
horrendous.
And every
team, but
though,
the
wind,
it just goes to show.
That doesn't help.
You get tough conditions like that. Mm. It's just so hard.
Yeah. I went out to a game on Saturday. I went out to the Bulldogs-Sharks game. And the weather out there on Saturday was very, very ordinary. And you could see the field by the end of the game have all the water on top
old
of
school.
The surface. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was very, very much old school. But we hear the New South Wales side and Queensland sides will be announced this morning. So looking forward to seeing what changes or if there's any changes at all to the New South Wales side. Obviously, we know that Latrell Mitchell's not going to play. He ruled himself out on Saturday night.
What do you
after
think
that
of that, about that, Loz? About the player actually making... Because it's the same in cricket.
Yeah.
You're invited to play for Australia. Yeah. So it's all invitational. You make the decision on whether you accept that invitation.
I think it's a smart move given the amount of time and effort he's put into his hamstring to go into that environment. It's tough. It's a fast game, and I know that he's Latrell, but if he's not confident that his body can get through that, I just think it puts him at risk of re-injuring it. Mm. And then, you see the difference he made on the weekend to South Sydney, coming up against Parramatta. They just looked a different team. Everyone else in the team felt more comfortable with him there. He would have had his moments in Origin, there's no doubt about it. And playing as a centre, he wouldn't have had to do as much running. But I don't think he felt confident that he'd be able to get through the 80 minutes in that environment. And it's a decider too. Mm. That's the other thing. The decider, the intensity of that battle goes up even further.
I tell you, tough conditions to come back to as well. For his first game back with a hamstring tendon issue, that's unbelievable that he stayed on, played the way he played, and did not look like he was in any. He didn't look like he had an issue at all.
No. I thought
he's obviously
put in
the
return.
Work. Yeah,
he looks a lot slimmer.
Yeah,
looks like he's lost plenty of weight. Okay. He looks as fit as I've seen him. And I think that he realises that South Sydney have put a lot of time and effort and patience into him to get this hamstring right. It's caused him some issues the last couple of years, and the last thing you need is ongoing hamstring issues for a young man, early stages of his career, because if you do that, it just puts pressure on your whole body, and then you're worrying about it throughout your whole career, and you're always holding back a touch. So I think that, you know, to get himself right and mentally ready to go, I think this is the best decision for him.
Just to go back to something you said before, Loz, green goggles aside, two referees. Do you think we need two referees again?
Oh, look, I said that in jest too. Might be something worth looking at. To be fair, Mido, I think a lot of people wanted the one referee system back,
yeah,
and that's what they were all after. I think we've just got to accept at times that referees are going to make unpopular decisions, and decisions that, you know, when you look at it through your own team colours, you can look at it and pick a penalty in nearly every set of six. It should have been a penalty yesterday. I don't know how he didn't award it, but as I get back to the point I said earlier as well, they certainly had opportunities to seal that game up until that point.
Just want to read a text out here from Bob in the Hunter Valley. Morning team, prayers this morning for our jockey Leah Kilner. She has touched our hearts with her love of Dusty Tycoon, and now she needs the prayers of everyone as she battles for her life at a Brisbane hospital this morning. And yes, well said, Bob, and thoughts and prayers certainly. With Leah Kilner, 24-year-old apprentice, she came off yesterday at Grafton, was airlifted initially to the Gold Coast, then onwards to Brisbane, and she's being treated for head and spinal injuries and in critical condition. Just another reminder of, what these jockeys encounter at times, or, you know, the risks that are involved in being a jockey. And there we have a 24-year-old in critical condition. So it's hard to wrap your head around, but we absolutely offer our prayers and
thoughts. Oh, it's terrible news, Mido. Terrible news when I heard about this. And no one ever expects when they go to work not to come home. And Leah, we're all thinking of her and, you know, fingers crossed that she can come through this, but she'll need a lot of support. She'll need a lot of love and prayers. And it's just so sad for a young 24-year-old jockey to fall off the way that she did, the injuries that she sustained, and, you know, we just hope and pray that she's going to be okay.
Unfair and square. Raiders fume over refs mark a penalty failures. We were discussing before that contentious non-call there on pretty much the last play of the game. I'll tell you what, though, Ben Hunt, I mean, you get away with what you get away with. He's right in contention, you'd have to say, Loz, for the Dally M medal this year.
Oh, he's playing outstanding football, the best season he's ever had. He's had an influence on all those matches that the Dragons have played in particular the winning games. And he's been strong in Origin. And Ben Hunt, he's just such a competitor. And he's got consistency in his game. Without him yesterday, I don't think they win. Good performance from the Dragons in horrible conditions. And congratulations, too, by the way, to every other turned up there yesterday. I saw those hearty souls up there on the hill. There was a couple of Raiders supporters on their own. It looked horrendous, those conditions. So they are fans, the ones that turned up yesterday.
Yeah.
How bad is the weather at the moment?
Incredible. It's been an incredible summer, really.
Yeah, and ridiculous how much rain.
The other issue with the closing moments or some of the closing periods of that game yesterday, Loz, was that floor. We spoke about it when it first came in. This floor in the six again rule, where there you are down by 2 points, and I saw Buzz tweet about it. I'm sure he'll speak about it with us after 7 o'clock this morning. But I thought this when the rule first came in. What if it's a grand final, you're down by two and you get an obvious penalty? You don't want a six again 10 metres out.
No, that's exactly right.
You want a shot at goal.
And it's subjective too, because the refs have the option to give a penalty. So that leaves a referee in a bad position as well, because if you do one six again call and then the next one you give a penalty and then another game you let it go for three or four with six agains, how's that been consistent? So if you've only given away one six again and then they blow a penalty on the next, people will be blowing up about that, the inconsistencies. Any of you give three or four six to goes and then the next one you give a penalty away, or then in your scenario, 5 seconds to go, yeah, you've been good all game and you just deliberately lie on the tackle player to take time off the clock and then the referee blows a penalty. How's that been consistent? It puts the referees in an awkward spot.
It's a serious flaw in the rule. that's going to become a huge talking point in a semi-final, and we'll wonder why we haven't sorted this out.
Yeah, definitely right, Mel. Definitely right. I cannot argue against you on that point. But the referees are under instructions to try and quicken the game up, and they think they'll be able to do that with these six-to-go calls. They changed it down the other end of the field at the start of this year, and I think a lot of clubs and fans like the fact that you can't get away with just lying on top of the player inside your own 20. Otherwise, it's a penalty. You get to kick out and get the ball down the field. In this instance, yesterday, it should have been a penalty. It was deliberately flaunting the rules by Ben Hunt. But good on him for getting away with it too. Yeah. I mean, everyone's going to do it in that situation.
Because you look at the context, that game could be crucial, that result. You've got the Dragons in 8th, the Raiders in 11th now, and four points out of the 8th.
Yeah, they're all crucial at this point in time for those teams in particular that are just on the cusp of the top 8. Just under 8th position, you're scrambling, you're fighting for every 2 points you can get. The Raiders, again, they had their chances to win yesterday's game. They'd be ruining the fact that they made so many errors when they had the Dragons. And, you know, the Dragons did well to hold on and win that game. But all these teams, you look at South, you look at Dragons, you look at Manly, Roosters and Canberra, they're the ones that are holding on and fighting now. And every loss is so important for them.
Okay, also back page of the telly, Haas out with Cow to debut. So Payne Haas, with his shoulder issues, looks set to be ruled out of Origin 3. The teams, as Loz mentioned, will be announced later this morning by Brad Fittler and Billy Slater. So Payne Haas, according to the Telegraph, won't be there. And Jordan McLean at age 30, well, some Cowboys look set to be given some debuts here for both states in Origin 3. It looks like Jordan McLean, according to the Telegraph, will play for New South Wales in Payne Haas's spot. And also, by the way, for Queensland, Courier Mail's reporting that Tom Gilbert is set to debut with Felice Kafusi out for family reasons. His dad's he's been hospitalised over in LA with a leg infection, so he's raced over to the States to be with his father. But the other one that we're going to be watching, I think the most contentious, Loz, Crichton firming with New South Wales likely unchanged, is the headline on the back page of the Sydney Morning Herald. So all eyes on the centre positions, mainly due to the fact that Jack Whiten's now available again. Didn't have the happiest of afternoons yesterday, though, and you wonder whether that'll play against you. But gee, it'd be hard. I know that Jack was one of the best players for New South Wales in game one, but to change that winning formula we had in Perth, this is a tough decision. The decision, this is what you want as a coach, to have these.
Well, most definitely. You want to be in this situation rather than the other way around, where you're scrambling for players and you're thinking, oh, geez, we're taking a punt here. Whichever way they go, I think they can't lose. I'd have to keep Matt Burton.
Have to.
And I'd find a position for Jack. But I will say this, I find a position for Jack in the starting 13, or I don't select him at all.
Well, where can you put him?
Well, and I say this because if you're going with Damien Cook on the interchange bench, and if you have Jack Whiten on the interchange bench, that leaves you with two forwards. Now, Jack can come on and play a bits and pieces role, but if you get injuries early in the game to a couple of forwards, that leaves you short on the interchange bench. And you don't want a guy like Jack Whiten playing over 25 minutes as a forward, because he won't be able to handle it. You just can't. When you're not used to playing that position under that pressure with the speed of the game, you just get found out. And I don't want them to put him in that position. But I think you either find a spot for Jack or he misses out. I don't think you can go with Cook and Jack on the bench.
Well, I guess in game one, Whiten started at centre and Crichton was in that 14 jersey, wasn't he? So it's a hard decision for Freddie.
Yeah, I think they either stick with Crichton or they put Jack there with Burton as right centre.
What are you doing, Puff?
No, this is the greatest example of when you win, you get away with murder. Even if you individually, if you don't play as well as you'd like, but the team wins, generally you stay in the team. And I unfortunately for Jack, I don't think he'll get back in.
Yeah.
I think they'll stick with the same team.
I think it's just victim of circumstances exactly stuff, right, isn't it?
And it happens in all sports. Mm. And that's the thing. That's it, unfortunately or fortunately, depends what situation you sit in, it's about the team's success. It's about the team winning. And you see it in all sports. Players get carried for long periods of time when the team's winning because that's what it's about.
Now, also on the back page of the Sydney Morning Herald, a picture of the Warriors there yesterday and working from home after 1,038 days. The Warriors returned to Mount Smart yesterday, an emotional homecoming, and they snapped a 7-game losing streak as well. Very critical for them to do that. They're on the lookout for a new coach, as are the Tigers, who they beat yesterday, 22-2.
How'd you go with that accommodation in New Zealand that you're looking at?
Did Clarkie put you in a spot of bother, by the way?
We know why you went to New Zealand.
Oh, yeah. I had a couple of phone calls, actually, from people. Yeah.
Did you find that 8-bedroom palace that they're offering you?
Down at Queenstown.
Yeah.
It'd be pretty hard to get to Auckland to coach a footy team if I'm living in Queenstown.
No, you'll find a way. Private jet helps and a chopper.
I did have a couple of phone calls of people. I had to say, no, they're playing games with you. They're playing silly buggers.
I knew someone, as soon as he said it, Pup, I was like, someone's going to take this seriously.
Mate, I was taking it seriously.
I got two phone calls.
Yeah. I was taking it seriously. He wasn't going to New Zealand for no reason. He doesn't like the snow. He likes the sun. Oh. Mate, he went to check the apartment.
Yeah.
Ross is too chilled out to coach now.
Nah, I'm gone now.
Yeah, don't worry, I'm with you.
Days are over. Days are finished.
No chance would I be coaching anything.
Good on you, Pup. Had the media hunting him down, the paparazzi.
It's good. New Zealand could do a lot worse. The Warriors could do a lot worse.
By the way,
chase him.
I'll tell you what, though. It sounds like there's going to be another change in the coaching ranks.
Oh, shock me.
Up north, Justin Holbrook.
Shock me.
The drums are beating.
What about Para? Brad Arthur. He's under the pump as well. They're only coming sixth, and he's under the pump.
Yeah. That was a poor loss from Parramatta.
They were.
Very, very poor
loss. Can they still win the comp loss?
Yeah, of course they can.
Geez, Andrew Johns doesn't think so. He was into him yesterday on the footy show. Mm. He was into him.
Of course they can. Mate, if you looked at it now, Penrith are home and host.
Mm.
But that doesn't always play out like that. There's still a lot of football.
Very rarely does it play out like that.
Still a lot of football to be played. People will have their moments where they're not playing well. You write them off. You only have to play 4 good games at the end of the year. Sometimes it's only 3, but once you get to the finals, we say it every year, it's a different ball game. The intensity goes up, the amount of pressure that's on you. If Penrith say like this, they're just expected to win. So you only imagine how they're going in every game. You know, they're only going to be off a touch, and people will be ready to have a crack at them. So it's just never pans out the way you possibly think it's going to be all the time.
Gee, it's weird with Parramatta, though. They've won away in Melbourne and beaten Penrith in Penrith. And then they come and lose to...
I can't write anyone off that's won those 2 games this year.
Yeah. And they've lost to the Tigers.
Dogs.
The Dogs. Hard team to get a read on, aren't they?
Oh, they are. They are. But, you know, I still look at a few of these teams and go, you know what? They might be able to win. They might be able to win a comp.
Plenty of text there. Heroes and villains, by the way, today. So we've got the $100 gift card to give away in the case of Saint and Sinner Alcoholic Kombucha. By the way, also on the back page of the Sydney Morning Herald, no time for Lolasio to tense up at number 10 if he saw the Wallabies the other night, 30-28. Didn't they have some adversity? Ooh, tell you what, they were pretty ordinary in the first half. 30-28, they've ended up winning against, I've got to say, it was a pretty pedestrian England team. But they got the job done, the Wallabies, and again, they probably would have lost in years gone by, but Darcy Swain, he faces the judiciary tomorrow for I don't really want to call it a headbutt, but I guess, you know, he did use his head.
Coming together of the heads.
It was a tap at best. I mean, seriously, red cards for that. Anyway, don't get me started. Tom Banks broke his arm. Alan Alatoa, he's out next week with concussion, though Teni Alatupo looks set to return. But they lost Quade Cooper in the warm-up. And this article talking about Lolasio said it was probably a blessing in disguise for him not to, you know, have too long to think about it, getting the tap on the shoulder, going, mate, you're it. Get ready.
Probably the best way to do it, too, for a young man like Lolasio. He didn't have the happiest of semi-finals over there in Auckland where, you know, he took that shot at field goal with, you know, less than a minute on the clock, whereas they should have, you know, kept driving the ball forward to get a little bit closer. So you can only imagine if he was named in the starting team, what the talk would have been about all week leading up to this clash about whether he's confident enough to grab those big moments. But it was a good performance by the Wallabies. Well done to them. And, you know, any time you can beat the old enemy, it's always good to know you can do that. And the last time the Poms were out, they beat us. So Eddie Jones wasn't too happy. Talking about, you know, Trent Robinson maybe getting fined after the game for what he said, Eddie Jones' comments after the game.
That's
as good as I've heard about a sledge on a referee. I think he might be in trouble. Or do they not penalise coaches for their comments after
the game? I'm not sure how World Rugby...
Basically, he said they were gifted the game once we lost a player.
Yeah, said they pelped the other side when they send someone down to 14 men.
I couldn't believe those comments when I read
that. You know, they'll suspend Darcy Swain for probably 6 months and give Eddie nothing. Don't start me with World Rugby either. Seriously. Yeah, let's give us a call. 1353 53. We're back this morning. Got Loz and Clarkey with us after a week off. And for your heroes and villains, I'll just start with this one from our man Glenn, the Newcastle happy punter, who says, hero, 100% blocker, 2 from 2 multis. Well, he was 1 from 2 for a start.
Didn't get up on Friday.
He got a $13 one the first week, though. And he says, Glenn goes on to say, villain, Mr. 5% Laurie, who has 7 from 140 go blocker. But Glenn, once again, you
5%,
still have...
If you're getting a return of 5% on your money, Glenn, you should be happy. Try going and getting that in a bank on the stock market at the moment.
Remember,
property,
Glenn,
wherever else. Come to me, brother. Come to me.
Remember, Glenn told 5%. He's 74 from 119 in his personal tipping and still hasn't sent us one tip. But he only bets on Saturday morning, so...
Well, I might tip on a Saturday morning too, Glenn, but I just haven't got the platform to be able to do it on a Saturday morning. I've got to do it on a Thursday night. I've got to get my tips in. So, anyway,
on
you know
that
what,
note,
Middo? I did not have a punt while I was away. Didn't have a punt.
You watch my horse? Pretty wild? You missed her.
Was in the multi, of course.
I missed her.
No,
yes.
she ran second.
She ran well.
Did she?
She ran okay.
No, she
not
ran
bad.
Well.
Did
not
the favourite win that race? Because that was
No, it wasn't
they were, the favourite. They were spruiking the favourite.
Yeah, it was Gary Portelli's horse, a $20 shot.
Yeah.
I forgot what it's called.
Right. She did all right, though. Not bad.
Feedback was happy?
Reasonably.
Right.
It sort of changed.
Because I saw the pre-race. I saw the pre-race was just don't expect too much.
I think because of... first Saturday race, Randwick, I think after the race there was a bit of that.
Yep.
And then I think they looked a bit closer at the race and I think they probably saw an opportunity for her to win that race.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all right. Because I can't remember what horse was in the race, but I know they were spruiking one that was the favourite in that
Picari
race.
Picari Kari.
Yeah, that was
Picari
it.
Picari Kari. That's it. Yep.
Rebel Shadow won the race. Mm. Gary Portelli and Tyler Schiller.
I was straight on the phone to Middo. Did you watch it? Tell me what you saw. What do you think?
No, I thought she ran well. Yeah, remember, we're talking out of Philly, going to Saturday grade at a second start.
I was happy. Second odds. I was pumped. Jesus, we were cheering her on in Noosa.
Oh, I could imagine.
Mate, there was about 15 of us.
Yeah.
We actually caught up. We planned to have lunch at 1 o'clock, but everyone got to my mate's house at 12. To watch a race, and it was like, again, World Cup final.
Yeah.
I had Kelsey Lee thinks she's got a horse. Like, she thinks it's her pony that she's going to go and ride. So, and I'm all cool with that. So she said, Daddy, can you ring me when our horse is running? I said, yeah, of course. So I've got her on FaceTime with 15 of us yelling at the TV.
Was she cheering?
Mate, she was that excited.
What's her calling for the second place instead of first? What does she say?
First is the worst,
second is the best.
I played that one.
Did she say that again?
No, she didn't. Nah. She couldn't stop smiling, though, because she thinks it's her pony. Yeah. She thinks it's her little horse she's going to get to ride.
I'll tell you what, mate. If it keeps going the way it's going, you've got a very, very good horse on your hands.
Good.
Yeah, you're going to have some fun. Mm. All right, what do you got for us, pup? Hero and villain?
Hero, I'm going with Alex Valkanovski. How do I pronounce that?
Valkanovski.
Again, not only was he dominated, was he dominating yesterday against Max Holloway, who is an absolute superstar. But that's three from three. Against, everyone said Max Holloway in his division is the greatest of all time. Well, you can throw that out the window because Alex is by far the greatest of all time. The way he fought, his speed, even the way he represents Australia. Like when he was walking out to the fight, everyone in Vegas was booing him and he was to camera going, I don't care. I know everyone at home supporting me. I can feel it. I can hear it. When he talks after the fight, he's always talking about he's doing it for his country. What an absolute legend.
Yeah, he's great.
I love him. And he's a genius. He's great to watch. So aggressive. So he's my hero.
He reckons he broke his hand in the second round.
Well, I heard him say that. Yeah. I heard him say that.
Mm.
Unbelievable. How strong is he? And how fit. He must just train the absolute house down. So he's my hero. And my my villain is the weather. I know you shouldn't complain. You get what you get. You can't control it. But, oh, my God, Sydney, what are we doing? New South Wales, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And if you're going to rain, at least rain where we need it. At the moment, everywhere that's flooded in the last 12 months, the rain is just hitting there again. So I feel for all the families, all the people out there that are having to go through these horrible conditions. So fingers crossed we can get some wind or something to blow this away because it's hurting so many families and so many people.
Mm. Mine, I think it happened last week because I read about it while I was away. Nick Kyrgios spitting. At a spectator.
In the direct, I think it was... Yeah, in the direction of a spectator
doesn't matter.
Who was giving him a heap of grief.
Yeah, for me, that's a villain.
Well, Nick's... Since then, Nick's
not a villain, no way!
Gee, I'll tell you what, he makes it hard, doesn't he? It hard for us to get on board.
Did you see any of the last game he played that he won?
I saw the highlights, some highlights against Tsitsipas.
Well, look at the talent he's got.
Oh, he just doesn't work hard enough. But he's got raw talent. And just to do what he does is unbelievable. But, you know, the trick shots and the underarm serve and all that. He's like Happy Gilmore. It's Happy Gilmore playing tennis with Nick Kyrgios. But I don't like the fact that he spat in the direction of a fan. So I think Nick gets my villain. And my hero is Opetai.
Broken jaw.
Broken jaw. And to become, I know it's IBF, cruiserweight, but to become a champion the way that he did, he broke it early in the contest in that fight and then just continued boxing with it. Mm. And did you watch the final round?
So
Jai Opetai just hung in there with a broken jaw, couldn't speak. It was hanging out. There was blood coming from his mouth. And he was able to win that cruiserweight title.
Jeff Fenwick said he's the toughest fighter he has ever seen. He said he's tougher than Mike Tyson.
Oh, mate, to be able to do what he did. What? Like, you're talking about, Sammy Burgess breaking his cheekbone in a grand final, Johnny Sattler, where I can relate to it in rugby league.
Yep.
Boxing.
Yeah.
Where you're standing getting hit in the head. And I just thought it was an unbelievable achievement. And the courage that he displayed. And to be able to block out the pain and to just focus in on what you needed to do. And he was in front and he needed to not be hit, but he kept throwing them and he kept receiving them. Mm. That was a remarkable fight. And that'll go down as one of the toughest things I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Guys, my hero, I saw the story on Channel 9's footy show yesterday. A young lady, Jamie Ferguson, who spoke about her husband, who died from brain cancer, and spoke so well in a really emotional story. And she was part of the Big Three trek, the walk, as he walked 150Ks from Sydney to Newcastle. And well done to everyone concerned in that. And I think they raised $4 million over the weekend for the Mark Hughes Foundation, over the week, which is incredible. And that's the way the NRL's got behind that. It's just been such a success, that initiative.
Yeah, and it has been, Middo. And, you know, to see so many people buy beanies and support the Mark Hughes Foundation the way they do, it gives us a chance to beat this horrible disease. You know, it goes into research on brain cancer, and Mark himself has been through it. And it's still an ongoing issue for Mark because he's got to keep going back and get tested. And, yeah, the what he's been able to do is raise that awareness and raise the profile and raise money, and people get right behind it and supported by the NRL, it's supported by the clubs. Fantastic initiative, and hopefully someday we will find a cure.
My villains, I've got two of them, fellas. The Swans, bad loss to the Bombers.
Ah, Bombers,
and I
heroes.
Love the Swans. That's
heroes.
A bad loss.
Bombers, brilliant.
No, you're
a
turncoat.
Yeah, I've got a bit of Bombers love in me now. I know. I like the Bombers. They've had a tough year, but geez, they were good.
We've got something in common, you and I.
Only one thing?
I like the Bombers as well.
Soft spot for them.
What's wrong with you two? Yeah.
I'm still a Swanee, but Bombers were good.
Well, you don't sound like one.
Well, Swannies weren't that... They weren't at their best, but they weren't that bad.
It's a crucial loss for the Swans. Their top four hopes are just about in smoke now.
You know, and you come back to this when you said we've got something else in common.
No, you
what
said...
Else?
You
what
said,
else we got in common?
You said we've got something in common.
Both,
I said only one
blokes?
Thing.
What else?
Well, we're both male. Both male.
Yeah.
Both do radio. Both love our sport.
Yeah. Both mention the good-looking part,
dreadfully
please.
Dreadful looking.
Dress smartly.
Dress horribly.
I've got another villain. I've never.
You're available.
More...
I'm unavailable.
I am available. I'm a free agent. You're happily married.
You like one this villain, are. Though, Clark. Stuart Broad Clarkey.
The Broadinator. He got belted, didn't he?
35.
Chin up, Broadie.
Off and over.
Chin up.
The most expensive over in Test cricket history.
Yeah, chin up, Broadie.
And it wasn't like he was bowling to Virat Kohli. He was bowling to Jasprit Bumrah.
I know. Have some of that.
Have some of that.
Yeah, I didn't mind seeing that either, to be honest.
I'll tell you what I did see. What about that wicketkeeper, Punt?
Rishabh Pant, he's 100.
Mate.
Yeah.
I only saw the highlights, by the way. But, mate,
no, that's how he bats. The highlights is exactly how
he bats. What a player he is.
Mate, he's an unbelievable talent. Fearless. But the problem with that, if you're on his team, he'll get out in ways where you'll go, you know what?
Yeah.
Do not come back into the change room. He was coming down the wicket, hitting sixes.
So if you've got a player like him, what do you
say? David Warner. David Warner, when he started his career, it was exactly the same.
So you just go, mate, you do
You've
got
to
do.
Know what you're in for right. because they're X factor. Because, again, he wins that test match on his own.
Yeah.
Or he wins that one day or that 2020. You've got to back the player in that situation. Mm. You hope over time. David Warner's a great example. His game has matured so much where his shot selection is a lot better now than when he first started. But at the start of his career, you got to let him loose. Yeah. And you hope in time, maturity... couple of low scores, and he'll work it out for himself because they're so talented.
Yeah.
But with Rishabh Pant, that's what Gilly did, especially if you're batting at seven. Six or seven, come in and play that way. Old ball, runs on the board, play with freedom.
Yeah.
Where it takes courage, and that's where Gilly was so good, is even if you're five for 180 and you really need your batters to put their head... Gilly was better off playing exactly the same way as he did.
Yeah.
He just backed himself like on 350. And that's what Rishabh Pant did in this innings. He just smacked
right,
it.
He was good.
Counter-attack. Sometimes it's get them before they get you.
We've got Sam on the line. Morning, Sam.
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy you enjoyed your break.
Yeah, thanks so much.
We did.
Mate.
Thanks, Sam.
No, excellent. I've got both heroes and villains. I've got, first of all, Latrell Dwyer. He played on Saturday night, and his selfless act, standing down from the Blues and thinking of the team that helped him for his recovery in America.
Yep, good call out. What about your villain?
And my villain is Nick Kyrgios for his selfish act, the way he behaves, and especially with this COVID era that's going on, and spinning hell got away with that too. It's disgusting.
Yeah, he makes it hard for us, doesn't he?
Oh, he does.
You want to like him. You want to like him.
Well, you have always been... You've been a supporter.
I'm a supporter. I do, but...
So even for you to be going, geez, it's hard to like him?
just when you do...
Says everything.
Things like that you just... There's, what do you say when someone does
that? When
he wins... You can't even defend them.
Even when he wins, that's his time. Just say... Nothing, but it's always the arrogance in his, mate, stop kicking people when they're down. Like, shut up.
I'll tell you what he did.
See, I don't mind all the swagger. And
mate,
arrogant. I know it is, and it's not our way
to
support that. 100%. But I can't not turn it on and watch him. But when you're spitting like that in the direction of a fan... That's unacceptable.
What did he say? Is the media think I'm bad for tennis, but obviously I'm not. Or like whatever his comments afterwards, it's like, mate, you're just like, you're on fire on the court. You played beautifully. If he says nothing there, Yeah. It just, I reckon he just goes tenfold in everyone's favour. Everyone loves him because he is so talented. Yeah. But then he makes those comments like, mate, you're not Michael Jordan. Shut up.
Yeah. See what he managed to do, though? He brought Stefanos Tsitsipas down to his level as far as behaviour is concerned.
Hitting the ball at him, didn't he?
Because Tsitsipas lost his cool as well. And and afterwards he's labelling, you know, Kyrgios evil and a bully. And Kyrgios is then firing back saying, oh, well, he's just soft. I mean, it just... We've got four Aussies in the second week of Wimbledon, and here we are talking about Nick's antics.
Yeah. I want Tomic and Kyrgios to play. I just want to see that. I want them two to get back into a stink.
Get them in the ring.
Oh, I don't mind that. Yeah, for charity.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm all for that too. That'd be fun.
Good on you, Sam. Thanks for the call, mate. Morning, Macca. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, we're pretty good, thanks, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, good. You guys had a nice little break.
Had a ball, mate.
We did,
Macca.
We did nothing. We like all went to different parts of Australia, and some of us went overseas to New Zealand, and yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I'm hoping to experience it my time next year. Hopefully, I'm going to Europe, hopefully.
Ooh, that'd be good.
May or June for my little boy, so when he goes overseas, hopefully get the opportunity to go overseas and try out and hopefully make it for the soccer.
Oh, beautiful. Now, you've spoken about your young bloke before, Macca.
Yeah, I have.
So is he a really, really good player?
Look,
Take your dad's hat off.
I mean, he's my son, okay? I'm not saying because of whatever. I mean, he's already won two titles in the last 2 years. And, yeah, they're a very talented kid, good player, got potential, got good attitude, got good work ethic, you know. He tries hard, works for the team, and he's not a selfish player like Nick Kyrgios. Now, he's got a... Look, whatever happens, everything happens for a reason.
Yep.
And if he's good enough, he's good enough. He's not going to make it, he's not going to make it. That's life. I'm going to give him an opportunity, and hopefully, who knows?
Good on you, mate.
And we're going to say, you know what, I'm going to give this kid a good player. He's a good player. He's got potential. Let's pick him.
Well, you know what, Macca? When he makes it, can we have the exclusive with him?
Oh, I hope so. I hope so, man. Trust me, I'll be calling you guys up. Hopefully, mate. Give us another year or two, hopefully.
That'll be good, Macca. Who's your hero and villain, mate?
Okay, my heroes. This guy got someone passed away not long ago from my wife's family side, who died from brain tumour. What these Australian public are doing now, raising over $4 million, which I think is fantastic. You know, just show that there's a lot of good people out there.
Yep.
And, yeah, and it's awesome that a lot of people still are having feelings for these people and raising the money for a good cause. So I'm going to pick the Marquee Foundation as their heroes.
Good on you.
And my villain, I don't know if you saw it, Clarkie. I was watching England versus India, and Stuart Broad, I think he got the most over in the Test run, series. That true?
That is true.
He got 35 runs off his over.
It was, I think it was 8-ball over. He bowled a no ball and a wide, so it was an 8-ball over, and he went for, was it 35, Bitter?
Yeah.
35 runs off over. I reckon that's the most ever for a Test bowler.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. So he's got the most in a 2020 as well. He got it for 36, I think, six sixes.
Yeah, so I'm going to pick him as my villain. It was great watching it. It was awesome. I love watching England versus India. Perfect time as well. And, you know, really enjoyable to watch. I thought both teams are really good. Yeah, so I'm going to pick Stuart Broad as my villain and the Marquee Foundation as my hero.
Good on you, Macca.
Beautiful.
Thanks for the call, mate. And just having a look. So, yeah, he smashed the record as well. The previous most was 28 off and over, which was Robin Peterson. James Anderson and Joe Root have all conceded 28.
Yeah, I think that was the Test match in Perth with George Bailey hit James Anderson for
2013.
Yeah,
yeah, good to see Broad and Anderson in that list.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I
thought you
that.
Might pop. Okay, more of your texts here, morning boys. Firstly, and most importantly, thoughts and prayers for Leah Kilner, hero. The Warriors gave me goosebumps walking out, but gee, Alex Volkanovski is a dead set machine. What an athlete. And proud Aussie. Villain Johnny Hill in the England rugby team. What a bunch of clowns. Cliffy from Scone. Yes, Lozza.
Well, Alex, he just looks too good in that division.
Yep.
So does he move up?
He said he wants to.
Yep.
Yep. Mm. He said he's ready to take. He said, I've achieved everything in this division, so right. Now I'll take on. What's he fight? Feather. Is he featherweight?
Yeah. Featherweight.
Yeah, okay.
Because I watched him yesterday and he was just too good. And you just go, well, mate, that's outstanding. Like, what else are you to do in this weight division? But obviously, when you go up, it's going to be harder. But then did you see Israel fight?
Yeah.
Adesanya?
Yeah.
They got booed.
Mate, it was a bad fight.
But again, don't you look
at... He just did enough. Like, he looked
the
class above.
All the best fighters. Like, it's exactly why people didn't like Mayweather. His defence was so good, you couldn't hit him. And that's what that fight was about yesterday. He just did what he had to do to win the fight.
And he was just too good.
Yeah. Just couldn't lay a hand on him. But Alex is the same. You watch him fight now, and that's where I reckon his fighting's improved out of sight. It's not like they're not swinging He's fighting Max Holloway, who is like Hall of Famer. This guy's a genius.
Well, they were talking about him giving him a run for his money yesterday.
He couldn't land a punch on it. He's just too quick.
What about the cuts on his face, Holloway's face?
He got belted, man.
Oh, just
blood
got hammered.
Spurting.
Oh, mate, did you see that?
On his eye.
Oh, my God. When he split his eye, and in the at the end of each round, the doctor's trying to... You couldn't look at it. It was just... There's 50 ugly stitches.
Right, they're tough, those
blokes. They are that tough.
Yeah. Now, another perspective here on the Kyrgios situation. Hey, boys, Nick Kyrgios is a breath of fresh air. All these NRL players and tennis pros go their entire careers with cliche, boring, sit-on-the-fence interviews. Kyrgios says whatever is in his head and backs his ability to back it up. Yeah, he can be embarrassing, but hats off to him for the entertainment on and off the court. No name to that one, but I take your point, because the amount of times I know I've sat here and you get frustrated with the cliched responses. Yeah. He does give us something to talk about.
Listen,
but
hang on a second. Let's just think about your own family. You love your family, right? Just think about your own family. Someone come to you and asked you a question every day about your family. You're not going to go, you know what? My old man is an absolute goose and he said this to me. You're not going to bag your own father. You're not going to bag... Everybody that has never touched the media always says, we want you to speak the truth. You don't. None of us can in your life. You can't always speak the truth. You always are protecting something or someone. And it's out of love. It's out of friendship. It's out of teammate. It's out of goodwill. So this whole, I love that he speaks the truth, you're not, you shouldn't, you can't, you're not allowed to, because you're going to hurt people. So yes, you can be as honest as you can be, but you can't just come out and, oh, today I feel like this, I'm just going to say it. Tomorrow I feel like that. Man, it's not the way the world works. It's not wrong. I don't agree with that. I like that he is his own man. I love that. I like that he's different. I love that. You don't need to be anyone you're not, but you still got to respect your sport. You still got to respect your teammates, the opposition. You still got to show respect. And I think that's the part that people question about Nick Kyrgios. Is he showing enough respect to the current group that he's playing with and against? Is he showing enough respect to the people that have come before him in his sport? That's the part that I reckon, sport lovers question about Nick Kyrgios.
The other thing here is I think personalities who play an individual sport have more of a license, don't they, Clark?
I'm not saying cliche. I'm saying, no, you can take, like everything, you can take it to the line. You can say stuff that's different. You can question certain things, but you still got to show respect. And that's the only thing. I think sometimes he does overstep that mark. And at times where he actually, if he just went silent, especially after the way he played the other day, that speaks volumes of how talented he is, how gifted he is, how we as Australians want to see him play. I love watching him play. He's a superstar. But if he could just don't forget what this sport is giving him. Don't forget where you've come from. Don't forget the people that, have put so much time and effort into getting tennis to where it is today. That's why he can fly first class. That's why he gets paid millions. That's why he can drive his bright orange Ferrari if that's what he's got. His talent is one thing, but it's everything that everybody else has done in that sport that got it to that place. Don't ever forget that.
Lots of scores. By the way, Novak Djokovic on court at the moment, and it's a set all in his match against Dutchman Van Rijthoven. So a set all, and on serve here in the third set, early days in the third set. Djokovic up 1-0. So we'll track this to see if he can make the quarterfinals. By the way, we've got Kyrgios and Demonor in action tonight, and if they both win, they'll play each other in the next round. So that would be fascinating to see Kyrgios play another Aussie in the last eight in the tournament. Now, in other results overnight, In the Formula One, Ferrari's Carlos Sainz, he won his first F1 in the British Grand Prix. There was a huge pile-up at the first corner, and the race was delayed for an hour as well, and there was a very scary incident. They're saying that the halo on the car pretty much saved the life of Alfa Romeo driver Zhu Guanyu, the Chinese driver.
Terrible accident, mate. Have you seen it?
I just saw it, yeah, mate, in the break.
Oh, my God.
I saw where his car ended up.
Mate.
Near the fence there.
Flips.
Yeah, so it looks he's ended up being stretchered off, but then was cleared in the medical centre, so he's all good.
When you see it, you just...
Looks nasty.
It's a nasty one, yeah. Yeah.
Sergio Perez and Lewis Hamilton filled the podium, and Daniel Ricciardo finished 13th. His teammate Lando Norris finished 6th. Basketball last night, Australia beat China 71-48 in their FIBA World Cup qualifier in Melbourne. They won the last quarter 26-3. So the Boomers did that pretty comfortably in the end. And in the netball, the Suncorp Super Netball Grand Final, West Coast Fever, after they lost the Grand Finals in 2018 and 2020, are champs for the first time. They beat the Melbourne Vixens 70-59 in the West. Now, in the AFL yesterday, Richmond beat the West Coast Eagles by 35 points. The Giants beat the Hawks by 22, and Fremantle beat Port Adelaide by 8 points. In the NRL yesterday, well, we saw the Dragons beat the Raiders 12-10, and the Warriors beat the Tigers 22-2 over in New Zealand. JB Rogers, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Welcome back. You were certainly missed last week. I know our listeners sometimes give you guys a lot of stick, but I can tell you right now, on the text line, they were definitely missing you three. So welcome back. It's great to have you all. Although Matt Burke, Phil Moss, Dean Ritchie and Ryan Phelan did a really good job holding the fort last week, but it is nice to have you guys back. And boys, today is the 4th of July, which means I fly out this month. I technically could be swimming this right now in a month's time, which is just nuts that we're literally on the countdown. It's weeks to go after 2 years.
Well, it seemed like a long time away when you first announced it, JR, but now it seems like it's upon us very quickly, and it's...
Seems close.
I'm nervous for you too. Well, hopefully you don't encounter this type of weather when you're overseas.
Well, do you know, I actually had to swim on Saturday and Sunday over the weekend purely for the fact to get used to these kind of conditions, because this is what I could face in the English Channel. So like yesterday for 2 hours, we were literally thrown around like rag dolls, which we had to laugh about at times because it was so hard to swim. But I could have hours worth of those conditions in the English Channel. So I got to prepare. But on Saturday, it was 6 hours and my swimming coach said to me at the end, I'm definitely ready for the channel. So that was nice to hear. That was probably one of the hardest swims I've done. I spent 2.5 hours basically yelling at myself in my head. I hated every minute of it. But at the end, when Vlad says you're ready for the channel, it definitely gives me some confidence heading into these final few weeks.
Who have you got for heroes and villains for us, JR?
I've got a few heroes, guys. There was so much happening over the weekend, but mainly the West Coast Fever, who won the Super Netball. You just mentioned it, Jared, when you were saying the results from the weekend, but they haven't won a premiership in 25 years. They've had plenty of close calls. They lost the grand final in 2018 and 2020, played in front of more than 13,000 fans, and they beat the Vixens by 11 points. But Janelle Fowler had 58 goals from 59 attempts. So well done to them. They finally have got some silverware. But I also had the same as you, Clark, Alexander Volkanovski, but I did it because of the fact that he broke his hand in the second round and still went on to have such a dominant performance. And as he walked down the tunnel post-fight, he was saying, I'm pretty sure it's broken. I know when I break stuff. So incredible toughness to still be able to fight with a broken hand. And also the Warriors. I just thought that they put on one of their best performances of the season in front of that huge crowd. To be back home was just really, really great to see. But on the flip side, so with the villain, I actually went Stefanos Tsitsipas, and that was just off the back of him deliberately trying to hit Nick Kyrgios in the back during their match. And he said in his post-match conference that he said that Nick was a bully with an evil side, and he's also gone on to like heaps of anti-Nick Kyrgios tweets on social media, and Nick has responded in a very Nick way by saying that Nick's got plenty of friends. He's very well liked in the locker room, unlike Stefanos, who isn't liked at all. And it all did, it was a very fiery contest. But I think if Nick can just put all of his antics aside, gee, he's such a good tennis player. He's so talented. And he really could fight for the Wimbledon title. I mean, I know we're looking quite far ahead, but he's just such a good player. And I know, Loz, you had him as your villain for spitting, which was spoken about quite a lot last week on the show. But if he just puts all that aside, he's so talented. But it was Stefanos that was the villain for me.
Okay, great stuff, JR. By the way, what do you make of Loz's foray into Instagram in his week off? I'm just having a look here.
Fire, weren't you, Dale?
What about the caption here? He's got a beautiful picture of him. Chill in the snow.
I'm an influencer, boys.
Queenstown with my queen.
Yeah, you didn't do that.
You definitely didn't
post it, and you certainly didn't write it.
I'm an influencer, Michael.
Did you do that? Or did your wife write
that? I am an influencer.
Did your wife write that?
I am building my numbers, and I am going to rival you at some stage the next 20 years.
Why don't you take
What are you? A million.
Why don't you take mine?
4,500.
Why don't you... let yourself loose on my social media.
Well, some of the things I'd like to post.
Oh, well, you probably can't post.
Can't post. But, you know, when you've got the artistic sort of gene, as I have, I like to experiment and just post and see what the reaction of people...
Oh, my God.
It's easy. You know, see what it's like. And for me... You know, when I get away, I just like to do things a little bit funky.
Oh, my God.
What about it says on your profile here?
What's he called himself?
What do I call myself?
Well it says, because you've got the blue tick, which means it's you.
You're legal.
Laurie Daly, athlete. You retired 22 years ago.
What am I supposed to put?
He's still an athlete.
Well,
it doesn't say professional. It just says athlete.
I don't know.
Still goes to the gym. Yeah.
Celebrity. Public figure. That's what it should say.
Public figure.
Yeah.
No, I'm happy with athlete.
Yeah, I'm happy with athlete.
Rather than a public figure.
Yeah. You are an athlete.
I'll tell you what I do, though. I'll tell you what I did do while I was away. And you know how I don't know how to work computers and Instagram. I found out a bit about Instagram, and I'm going to post a bit more, all right? I'm going to post a bit more. I don't know what I'll be posting, but I'm just putting
it
out there.
Okay, I like it.
Based on something you found out.
Don't worry, mate. Anything's better than nothing. In social media, if in doubt, just post. Just start taking photos of food.
Well, I'll tell you
before
what.
Before you eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner, just do that.
Yeah, you'd know this, and I don't know what they call it, but you know where your head is on the profile, on your Instagram?
Yeah.
You can put a story in there, I've learned. So Michelle puts these stories in for me.
Yeah, well, noticed took a photos. Couple of those.
Yeah, yeah, okay, I like it.
But they only last for 24 hours.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. So that's you're better off doing stories.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what she said. She said
it disappears.
Because it disappears. Yeah. So if you want to have a beer and you put it on there and you don't want it to be seen, you just put it on there for 24 hours.
That's exactly right.
And generally, but you've got to be careful what you put on the 24-hour ones.
Generally, story is what you're doing at that
time.
Yes. So it's more live.
So I'm a more story man rather than those photos.
Yeah, grid's not as important now.
Right.
So we call this...
The grid.
I'm showing laws here while we... Like these photos that you post and they stay.
Yep, they're grids.
That's grid.
Right.
But story, I don't think I've posted on my story for a while. Normally... Yeah, I mean, you click on that, and that's what you're doing in that moment.
So
you are a story man.
Yeah, so I'm a story man. So
I like it.
From now on, a lot of my posts will be stories.
Stories, yeah, and then
not grids.
When you get a good one, one of your kids or your wife would say, "Dad, you can also put that on your grid."
Right,
I know. You get a good family photo, for example.
Yeah.
That you can put that on story because it's happening at that time, but you can also put it on your grid.
Beautiful. So I learnt that.
There you go,
Middo. Thank you, Popstop.
For all our listeners, I can't believe what I'm listening to either.
What?
Morning, Ted. How are you?
Get with it. It's a new age.
Yeah, good boys. Morning. How you going?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks, mate. You got a hero and villain for us?
Mate, got heroes and villains. Mate, you got a hero. I went up and watched Die Up a Tire fight Saturday night.
Oh, okay. I'm the Goldie. How was it?
The Goldie, mate. Yeah.
Ted, at the fight, did you know he had a broken jaw or did you find out after it, like everyone else?
Not until about the 11th round when he saw his... What the blood coming out, and you could see it was sort of on the felt like a bit of a break there.
Yeah.
But I spoke to Barry Michael at the Cassie afterwards, and he just said, "What an effort! Like just to fight from round two onwards for the broken jaw. He's bloody tough bastard."
So,
the villain, mate. I'm not one to bag the referees, but bloody Jared Sutton Friday night. If Robbo does get a fine, mate. Sutton should be paying it.
Oh, I tell you what, that tackle from Sam Verrills, that...
Oh, gee,
I know where your frustration... Yeah. There was other incidents in that game, but that one there, I don't know what Sutton was thinking.
It would just change the momentum in the game. And also that the Crichton one where the play went on and then the bunkers called and like three plays later, the bunkers interrupted and told Sutton about... Crichton holding on.
Oh, yes. Way. Yeah, that was average.
That was just a moment. That was just a momentum killer. So,
Yeah,
I said, don't want to bag the referee, but yeah, that was a killer for the Roosters.
Mm. No, good on you, Ted. Appreciate the call.
A big shout out to Kurt down in Narendra too, mate.
Oh, Curtie, you know him?
I know him. You listen to him. He's me little cousin.
Ah, what a champion.
I see he strapped the boots on the weekend for the Lizards too. So.
Oh, did he? He didn't score a try, did he?
He didn't. I don't think. Mate, I think he saved himself for the final.
He's a good man.
He is.
Good.
Easy, lads.
Good on
you, Ted. Appreciate the call, mate. Interesting with the Roosters, Loz. So 26-18, they've lost that game to Penrith the other night. Now Matt Lodge is speaking to the media at midday today, and he's set to play for Norths this weekend as he signs that short-term contract, at least at this stage, to the end of the season. The club's in 10th position, 7 wins, 9 losses. They were one of the best back sides heading in to round one for the Premiership. And here they are in the position they're in. I'll tell you what, they gave a pretty good account of themselves the other night against the high-flying Panthers, though, but still didn't get the result. But their season is at an absolute crossroads, isn't it?
Well, it's critical. They get, you know, some wins on the board. They've got a strong roster, but they just haven't been able to put all those players on the paddock at the one time. I mean, you throw Wira Hargreaves back in, you throw Lodge into this team, Victor Radley is now back playing, you throw Keary back in, and they're a serious footy team. I still don't know what you do with Joey Manu, because he's outstanding the more that he touches the ball. Mm. As a fullback or a 5'8", geez, I think he's a good player. And as a centre, at times, probably doesn't get as much ball as he should or would like.
Well, it sounds like Keary's not going to be back anytime soon. I mean, that head knock, well, the situation with his concussions.
He has had a number of head knocks, hasn't he, Luke Keary? So, you know, there'd be a question mark over his long-term future. You know, I'm sure he wants to come back and play, and the Roosters will give him every chance to do that. They won't, you know, force him into a decision. Luke's got to be comfortable and he's got to get the right medical advice and, you know, he'll be guided by those people along the way. But, yeah, Joey Manu, what a player. Jeez, he was great in that test match weekends ago.
Ran for more than 400 metres.
Oh, he was just outstanding. But the more that he touches the ball, the better that the Roosters are.
Adam Pengilly, morning to you, mate.
Jared, morning, boys. How about the social media game from all you three last week? Unbelievable.
What did I do? What did Clarkie do? What did you do?
I posted a bit of stuff, but I tried. Yeah. Generally, what I do if I'm on a holiday, I'll post when I've left the venue. So I won't post actually live.
So there's no stalkers.
It's like I'll post it. Whatever I did yesterday, I'll post today. Mm.
Yeah. But Laurie was certainly the most surprising, wasn't it, Adam?
Yeah, Loz was the MVP. But how about the boss, Ben Lloyd, Jared?
Oh, he's rocking it, isn't he? Oh, looks like he's having a horrible time over there.
He's rocking it over there. Does he own a shirt, Clarkie?
No.
No.
I'll tell you what, he should put it on.
We've seen that before. Don't worry about that.
How embarrassing with the shirt on.
Good on him.
Oh, mate. It's flopping everywhere. mate, in all seriousness, Lloyd, he's got a horrible body.
Bad rig.
Mate, bad rig. He should have a shirt or a singlet on.
Hey, dance like nobody's watching.
I'm going to have a chat to him when he gets back.
He's not even here to defend himself.
Now's the time.
Now, Adam, on a serious note, this morning we just have everything crossed and thoughts and prayers with Leah Kilner after this terrible fall yesterday. What is the latest this morning?
Yeah, absolutely horrible news, Jared. The latest that I'd heard late last night was she'd been flown to a Brisbane hospital. She was sort of in and out of her consciousness when she was being flown to a Brisbane hospital. I think she was undergoing an operation last night to try and stem some bleeding on the brain, but obviously an extremely serious situation for her. That race meeting at Grafton yesterday was postponed. The rest of the races after that fall on a 2-year-old where she came down just before the winning post. Obviously, she was being treated on course for the best part of an hour and then flown very quickly to a hospital in Brisbane. So as you mentioned, Jared, everyone in the racing industry, our thoughts and prayers need to go out to Leah, her family, her friends, everyone involved, because it's an extremely serious situation. And let's hope we can get some better news today, because a lot of people in the racing industry in a state of shock last night.
Certainly. And there was an emotional win for the Coolman family on the weekend as well.
Yeah, racing has a funny way of throwing up these stories, doesn't it, Jared? Anton Coolman obviously passed away last week, and a horse that the family's part owned for a long time there, Monty Ditto, got the chocolates there in the midway handicap for David Pfeiffer. A beautiful ride by Huey Bowman. Unfortunately, the meeting lost half of the races. Five of the races were called off there at Rosehill on the weekend when conditions just came so torrential. The visibility was a massive concern for jockeys. So, again, this wet weather is playing an absolute havoc with conditions all around the state and racing at the moment. We lost half the card there at Rosehill, but I think they did a good job just to get through the first five races, to be honest.
What about... should I ask you, what happened to Brett Prebble down there at Flemington on the weekend?
Did you catch him on the weekend, Lock?
I didn't, mate, no.
Absolutely bizarre. He was in the Banjo-Patterson final, and him and Blake McDougall in a sort of a driving finish. Blake McDougall's mount was sort of obviously creeping away from the fence and sort of hampering Brett Prebble in the final stages. Blake McDougall was first past the post but lost the race on protest to Brett Prebble. What happened after the line was the most fascinating thing. Brett Prebble's virtually sort of leaned over in the saddle and pushed Blake McDougall and made contact with a fellow jockey after the post. And I must admit, I can't remember seeing that for a very, very long time on an Australian racetrack. And stewards obviously called him in and asked a few questions, but I only gave him a minor warning. I must be said, I was a little bit surprised, to be honest. I thought it might have been a bit sterner action there. So Brett was obviously apologetic for his actions, a bit of an impulse reaction, not happy with Blake McDougall's riding. But I thought maybe a harsher penalty would have been in store there.
And take us through the Sunshine Coast Guineas, or the Winx Guineas, isn't it known now?
Yeah, it felt like I was watching Winx for a second there. Jared, majestic colour. Yeah. Just cruised to victory. The most arrogant win you've seen for a very, very long time with James Allman aboard. He just travelled in the three wide line without cover and just put them away in a few strides near the top of the straight. This is a horse that's come from a long way in a very short space of time for Kelly Schweder. Obviously winning his races, going bang, 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 this preparation. And that was the toughest test he's faced so far this campaign, a passer with flying colour. So he might be a horse to watch. Difficult time of year, obviously, to try and keep progressing through the grades, given the winter carnival up there in Queensland is coming to a close. We've got plenty of off-season racing down here in Sydney and Melbourne, but definitely a horse going about his business the right way at the moment.
And what a year it's been for Coolmore's sire, so you think as well. Another win there in Winx Guineas on the weekend. Now, Origin and these teams, so particularly the Blues, I mean, what are you expecting here, Adam, particularly in the centres, now that Jack Whiten's available? What do you think Freddie will do?
Yeah, very tough to get a read on all day yesterday, Jared. Freddie and Brandy keeping their cards extremely close to their chest. The mail that I was getting very late last night was that Stephen Crichton and Matt Burton at this stage are in pole position to maintain their starting centre positions. Where that leaves Jack Whiten, I'm not too sure. I think CSC Fatalikai is still going to be in the 17 on the bench there somewhere. So Jack Whiten, I think, is facing an uphill task to try and push his way back into the 17. I think that's probably a little bit unfortunate for Jack, given he was so good in game one and only missed game two because of COVID. He came back yesterday for the Raiders against the Dragons, and must be said, it wasn't one of his better games. Made a number of errors that he usually wouldn't make. Had a quick chat to Jack after the game at Wynn Stadium down there last night. He was still relatively upbeat and just said whatever happens, happens. He wasn't concentrating too much in Origin there yesterday, just trying to play his best for the Raiders. But Freddie's got some big calls to make. Obviously, some news with Payne Haas. He's sweating on the fitness of Payne Haas. But at this stage, it doesn't look like Freddie's going to be making too many changes to the Blues team from game two.
What about Billy Slater, Adam? Do you reckon he'll make many changes?
Well, he's got to make one change, Clark. He's police cruise. He's not coming back from the United States. So that second row position is up for grabs. Listen, I can't see him going away from a Dane Gagai. I know there's been a lot of talk about Dane Gagai and Josh Papali'i. Those two haven't been at their best throughout the series. But
what do you reckon it's happened to Josh Papali'i? Adam, I've watched him.
Talking about him
even yesterday,
dropped.
I watched him closely yesterday because when I watch him for the Raiders, I think he's been going okay.
Yeah.
Origin hasn't played much game time, and you know, the speed of the game looks as though it's caught up with him there. But even yesterday, he just didn't get around the paddock as well as what I thought he would have.
Yeah, you're right, Loz. I was watching him do it closely as well. I didn't think his line speed was that great there yesterday. I think he's probably just missing a yard or two, if I can put it in those terms. But he's been the biggest quandary for me through the opening two games, because at his best, he's a guy who can dominate Origin, not just play well at Origin. He can dominate Origin. And he's been nowhere near that in the first two games. He's obviously only played limited minutes. And Billy's giving him 14, 15 minutes, wasn't that those opening stints? And he's been gassed. He looked absolutely gassed in the first two games. So, I don't know. I expect him to be in the 17 there somewhere, obviously, for game three. But
I just didn't know whether he's carrying an injury or I don't know. He looks like he's carrying an injury to me, because in the lead up to the Origin, he was going good. I thought he was going good, but since Origin, when I've watched him play, he just looks off the pace a bit.
Yeah, and he's not playing the big minutes he's capable of doing. And on the contrary, like, how good's Joe Tarpany going at the moment? Like?
Oh, he's enormous. He's arguably the best forward in the game at this stage.
I could not argue with that at all. He's been playing outstanding. And in a beaten team there again yesterday, he was absolutely fantastic. So a couple of big calls for Billy to make, but I wouldn't expect too many changes from both these New South Wales and Queensland teams from Game 2.
Chat tomorrow, Adam. Thank you.
See you, boys.